Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday, July 22nd, 2024. This is the InfoWars War Room, your election headquarters, with 106 days until the presidential election. The fastest 3 hours on the internet, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. All right. We are just overflowing today. I did full coverage of the Secret Service hearing today with Kim Cheadle. We're going to be really digging into that. We got a ton of video clips from that. We'll play some of those. And then we're going to do more deep analysis of the assassination attempt on Donald Trump with some of the new information we have, some of the new videos we have. We're going to have a citizen journalist who's on the ground, who is getting drone shots, drone footage, talking to locals, joining us in the third hour. And now you also have members of the Republican Party out there. And I guess it's no longer a crime scene. They were kicking people out just a few days ago. Now they've cleared it as a crime scene. And so now anybody can go in there. So a bunch of citizen journalists are on the ground. A bunch of Republican House members and senators were there, shooting footage, going into the building, going up on the roof. We're going to have that now with new breaking analysis. So a lot more deep analysis of the actual events of that day. And then we'll kind of tie it all in with what was said during the hearing, some of the new stuff that's emerged, some other new breaking information. And then we'll review the questions that needed to be asked and answered from the hearing today, and we'll review what was asked and what was answered. But mostly nothing got answered, not even basic stuff. So we'll break into all of that. Now, here's what's interesting. As we're in the fog of the attempted assassination of Donald Trump and the Secret Service cover-up, Joe Biden drops out of the presidential race via a letter which was not written by him, was not signed by him. There was a forged signature on it. Somebody forged Biden's signature and was not on presidential letterhead. We have not seen or heard from Joe Biden in 5 days. Now, it's assumed at this point Kamala Harris is going to be the nominee. And it was actually on July 11th, as I've been doing my continued coverage, where I said it's going to be Kamala Harris. You can go back to July 11th and you'll see, if you were listening, you remember that's the day I said, okay, it's going to be Kamala. That's the day I stuck my ground and stuck my reputation and said, yep, Biden's out, it's going to be Kamala. Well, it's assumed it's going to be Kamala. There's still time for them to remove Kamala. And we know from insider information and O'Keefe Media Group, who got D.C. insiders inside the Biden White House admitting that they don't want Kamala either, that, I mean, there's still a chance it might not be Kamala. So now it's like they're going to try to maybe test the waters with Kamala and see what's really up there. I think Kamala's worse than Biden. I would say Kamala is a worse candidate than Biden. Now let me be clear here. Just because Kamala is a joke and probably a worse candidate than Biden is, it does not mean we need to sit here and be confident in Trump's victory. We need to continue for the next 106 days to pretend like we're 10, 20 points behind, because that's basically the handicap we're fighting against. The elections are rigged against us, and so we need to pretend like we're losing. So let's just keep that in mind as all of this goes on. But if this goes sour, if this goes south with Kamala in this next week, in this week in particular, don't be surprised if they try to reshuffle the deck. And there's a couple ways they can do that, because there's all different technicalities that are still in play right now with the Democrats and this dropping out of the race by Joe Biden without even his signature. He didn't write it. It's not even on presidential letterhead. We haven't seen him in 5 days. So there's a lot of different moving parts. We're going to get into all of it on a loaded, jam-packed, can't-miss InfoWars War Room.
I do want to tell you about InfoWars MD. Discover the newest line of supplements from InfoWars designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulas cater to diverse needs. We have Ageless Vitality Collagen, Superfood Greens, Mushroom Max, Turmeric 95, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, CBD, Full Spectrum 10 and 25 milligram gummies, as well as so much more. The premium InfoWars Lifeline. It's InfoWars MD, and it's available now at 25% off at InfoWarsStore.com. I suggest the collagen, and just search it yourself. I'm not going to make any medical claims here, but search the importance of collagen in the aging process and see why taking collagen as a supplement can be perhaps the most powerful thing you do to reverse the signs of aging.
Of censorship, Owen Schroyer is the light. This is the War Room. Watch it live right now at AmericanElection.news.
All right, where to begin? I think I just start putting it down, and we start with Joe Biden dropping out, because even though this was likely done intentionally with the fog of the assassination attempt and the cover-up by Secret Service, which we'll get more into, they have Joe Biden drop out in a very unceremonious way in the middle of the assassination cover-up that everybody's focusing on and should be, and rightfully so, and we will too as well today. But in the fog of all of this, there's some big stories that are missing here. Joe Biden drops out of the race unceremoniously. And let's recall, just a week before Joe Biden drops out, what were they saying? Joe Biden's not going anywhere. Joe Biden is running. All these rumors of Joe dropping out are fake. All the propaganda agents. He's stronger than ever. He's the most fit of all time. He's the most qualified of all time. He's the best president of all time. Funny, isn't it? Funny how that just changes. Just changes. Just done. Oh, now we're throwing him overboard. He's done. Unceremoniously. So, okay, what's new? Democrats lie, and Democrat voters love to be lied to. And they just get away with this. They just get away with this. Or maybe they won't this time. The saviors of democracy initiated a coup on Joe Biden. And that's the story. That's the story. This was a coup. This was an actual coup against Joe Biden. Who ran it? Who initiated it? And where is Joe Biden? How do we go from Joe Biden making multiple statements saying, I'm not going anywhere? I mean, I got videos of it. Again, this was just last week. Just last week, Joe Biden, multiple campaign rallies. I'm not dropping out. I'm in it for the long haul. I'm going to be the next president. Democrats echoing the same thing. So how do we go from that to he drops out and then we just don't even see him? He just disappears. And they release the White House's, or Biden's, rather, presidential schedule, there's nothing on it. He has nothing scheduled all week. But his doctor says he's in great health, excellent health, just fine. Meanwhile, Lauren Boebert demands proof of life by 5 o'clock today. So how do you go from a week, Joe Biden's not dropping out, best president ever, all the Democrats saying it, vice president saying it, his propaganda agent saying it, I've got all the videos, do I need to remind you? To a letter, not on presidential letterhead, not written by Joe Biden, not signed by Joe Biden, saying he's dropping out. How does that happen? And then the same Democrats, insurrection, coup, Donald Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, somebody just pulled a coup on Joe Biden. And look, I don't like Joe Biden. You don't like Joe Biden. It was a coup that put Joe Biden in office to begin with. But see, this is now the nature of what we're looking at. So they put a coup to get Joe Biden in the White House. Now they're running a coup to get Joe Biden out of the race. And that's exactly what happened. So I wonder right now, what state of health Joe Biden is actually in? Does he even know? that he's dropped out of the race. Again, when you look at the official, I don't know what makes it official. What makes Joe Biden's statement on dropping out of the race official? He didn't write it. He didn't sign it. And it's not on presidential letterhead. Folks, the signature is clearly a fraud. Somebody committed criminal fraud here. This is a criminal forgery of a signature. And they didn't even do a good job. It's not even a good forgery. So how is this Joe Biden dropping out of the race? Does he even know he's dropped out of the race? What is Joe Biden's current health status? And who initiated the coup? There has been a coup at the White House, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody has run a coup against the President of the United States. Who's running it? Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Kamala Harris, the Democrat Party at large? All the above? Who just ran a coup to get Joe Biden to drop out of the race? Does he even know he's dropped out of the race? And what is his health status? These are all imperative questions right now. Hard to focus on this, considering we've got Secret Service and the FBI covering up an attempted assassination of Donald Trump. Now, think about this. Donald Trump was supposed to be dead. Now, a coup has been run against Joe Biden. He's out of the race. Ladies and gentlemen, we are supposed to be looking at a situation where both of the nominees from the Democrat and the Republican Party are out of the race with 100 days left to go. That's how corrupt things are. That's how openly corrupt they are. And they can't even hide it anymore. So we were supposed to have a Republican nominee that didn't actually get the nominee, didn't actually get the nomination, didn't have the votes, didn't have the delegates. And now you're going to have a Democrat nominee that didn't get the votes, didn't get the delegates. Now, the Democrats have their own system of superdelegates. They can rig it anyway. They don't need a vote. Did you know that? The saviors of democracy. You don't need a single vote to win the Democrat Party nomination. They get to choose who their nominee is. And it's likely they will do so. And so maybe we should just talk about that before we move on. It's hard to fathom what the Democrats are going to pull next. Just like it was hard to fathom that Joe Biden could run, now it's hard to fathom what they're going to do with Kamala Harris. Who's going to be her vice president? Is she even going to end up being the nominee? Now, there's moves in her favor today. There are definitely moves in her favor today. A lot of the delegates are already flipping over to Kamala Harris. Nikki Haley's super PAC is giving all of their money to Kamala Harris. Isn't that funny? And by the way, Nikki Haley, who begged to speak at the RNC and says she's calling for unity, she's getting all in behind Donald Trump. Has she said anything about her own super PAC giving all of their money to Kamala Harris instead of Donald Trump? It's funny, Nikki Haley's silence on that issue, isn't it? That phony B.I. itch, Nikki Haley, makes me want to vomit. What an absolute phony. I can't believe anybody let her on the stage at the RNC as now she's stabbing Trump in the back, stabbing the Republicans in the back. And you say, oh, well, it's a super PAC. She doesn't really control it. It's in her name, and she has said nothing. She has said nothing that the money she raised is now going to Kamala Harris. Nikki Haley, more knives to stab you in the back with than you can even imagine. And now she's done it again. Nancy Pelosi endorses Kamala Harris. There's a whole rung of Democrats now coming out and endorsing Kamala Harris. A lot of the delegates are now flipping over to Kamala. The Biden delegates that are now up. She's got 531 delegates as of now. She needs 1,986. But the Democrat convention isn't till mid-August. And This whole thing is so screwy, folks. They are looking at a situation where the only way to be eligible on a ballot in Nevada and Wisconsin is if the candidate of choice is dead. And the only way that they can get on the ballot in Ohio is if they have an official nominee before the end of July. Remember, they were going to do that virtual swearing-in ceremony of Biden so they could get on the ballot in Ohio. So now they're looking at a week to officially certify Kamala Harris, or they're looking at an absolute disaster coming up. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's still massive internal pushback against Kamala Harris. And now with Joe Biden's health in question, you got a whole nother problem. You got a whole nother problem. And it actually might be a bigger factor than we realize, considering the laws to remove Biden from the ballot in certain states. And believe me, the Democrats know all of this. They're measuring all this out. Now, if you go back in time to 2020, how did Kamala Harris do? How did Kamala Harris do in the primaries? She had zero delegates. Zero. Not one. Tulsi Gabbard had the least amount. She had two. Klobuchar had five. Buttigieg with 15. Bloomberg, Warren, Sanders, and then Biden gets the nomination. That's 2020. Kamala Harris came in dead last in 2020. Dead last. That's their nominee. Dead last. She's not doing well in swing states. Pulling behind, this was in 2020, pulling behind almost every other candidate. In Michigan, she pulled at 0%. Florida, 1%. North Carolina, 1%. Pennsylvania, 1%. Wisconsin, 1%. This is their nominee. This is their nominee who couldn't even crack a single delegate in 2020, who could barely pull at 1%. In 2020. I'm telling you, folks, this thing is not over. Now, I told you it was going to be Harris on July 11th. You can go back and look at the record. I'm telling you now, this deal ain't over. This deal ain't over by a long shot. Kamala Harris is not guaranteed. And all the same things they said about Joe Biden, they're saying about Joe Biden has all the money. Joe Biden has all the delegates. Joe Biden is fit. Joe Biden has the endorsements. It's Joe. He's running. He's campaigning. They said the exact same things about Joe Biden. And look at where we are today. This thing is far from over. But I say let the Democrats deal with their issues. Let the Democrats deal with their madness. Let the Democrats deal with their problems. Let the Democrats run their coup. It's sad. It's a coup against our country. We need to focus on the cover-up of the assassination of Donald Trump and who done it. We know why. But something bigger needs to happen here. This is not about a lone gunman. And now even members of the Republican Party are calling it out in network news interviews. And they're even getting into conspiracy. Now, again, I've got a lot of new information on this. But before we move on, again, don't think that this is over by a long shot with Kamala. And also, here's an issue that's starting to come into play. Some questions for Kamala Harris about eligibility. Now, I've already commented on this. We've had debates on the air about this. I don't think it's going to matter, but this will be an issue. She was already the vice president, so that's basically saying she's eligible anyway. But this is another issue they face, folks. It's just more negative press that they're going to have to hurdle for Kamala Harris. And they know it. Is she even eligible? But then there's the coup that was just run against the President of the United States. Who ran the coup against Joe Biden? Who ran the coup against Joe Biden? Does he even know he's dropped out? And what is his current medical condition? The President of the United States has not been seen or heard from in 5 days. Tell me how you're the President of the United States and you're going to drop out of the race and you're not even going to do it during a televised statement or press conference? You're not even going to have any physical appearance or announcement? Instead, somebody's going to write a letter and then forge your signature and then you're not seen or heard for days? So those are the important stories. It's not a done deal with Kamala. And who ran the coup against Joe Biden? That's the story. That's the story. Who ran the coup against Joe Biden? Does he even know he's dropped out? And what is his current health status? Hillary Clinton getting involved. By the way, she's turned off replies on her Twitter post, on her ex posts. She makes a strong statement in support of Biden after he drops out and then turns off the replies. Oh, you know Hillary is still aching to get back involved. This deal's not over, folks. This deal is not over. But I'll tell you what, let's finish up with this, and in the second hour, we'll really focus on the hearing from today and the cover-up of the assassination attempt. Here is RFK Jr. talking about the Biden dropout and the Harris nominee in clip 25.
You mentioned Kamala Harris is who you said that the Democratic Party appeared poised to put into that position. You were critical there, obviously, of President Biden's policy. What, if anything, is different? How do you compare yourself to Kamala Harris if she does become the Democratic nominee for president?
Well, I think, you know, Kamala Harris is the party of war. She is, she's a war hawk. You know, the Democratic Party was always the peace party. Kamala Harris is a war hawk on Ukraine. She's a war hawk on China. I think that we should be figuring out ways to coexist with the rest of the world as best we can. Of course, we need to protect our national security. I think she's not going to do anything about the national deficit. I've never heard her speak about the chronic disease epidemic. I think she's a product of the corporate control of our democracy. And she's one of the authors of, in terms of civil rights, she has one of the worst civil rights record of any public official. She's the author of the, one of the primary authors of the school to prison pipeline. She kept 5,000 people despite a Supreme Court order that she released 5,000 prisoners and of nonviolent drug crimes who were illegally in California jails. She kept them in there saying that we needed them for firefighting and for other public work services. And that's just a modern version of indentured servitude, a modern version of slavery. She was one of the two leading public officials in California, which now has the worst education system, 49th in education outcomes in the country. 50% of the homeless people in our country are in California, and she was behind those policies. Oh, I don't think she has a good, I don't think, in terms of the traditional democratic principles, I don't think she has a credible record.
Now, here's Kennedy's vice president pick, Nicole Shanahan, talking about all the money she's raised, or the Biden campaign has raised, and what's going to happen to that in response to Biden dropping out, clip 23.
After weeks of misleading and gaslighting the nation, President Biden announced today that he will not run for re-election. While this decision might initially seem on its face to be a positive development for the Democratic Party, here's why it's actually quite sinister. By choosing to delay this announcement until late July of an election year, Biden has hindered qualified Democratic challengers from having a genuine opportunity to become the nominee. Dean Phillips ran to offer voters an alternative, one that they might have preferred if they had known Biden never intended to seek a second term. Bobby Kennedy also pursued the Democratic nomination early on, only to quickly realize that the process was rigged in favor of Joe Biden. What the DNC, Biden, and the ruling class of the Democratic Party have done is corrupt. It's un-American and ultimately a grave harm to our democratic process. We are now facing a situation where the powers that be are self-appointing Biden's replacement. They have already named their chosen candidate, Kamala Harris, and anyone attempting to challenge us at the DNC convention next month will be smeared, blacklisted, and labeled a traitor to the party. This, too, is corrupt, un-American, and a true threat to our democracy. I spoke with my FEC lawyer this morning, and he confirmed with me that over $240 million that the Biden campaign has raised can only be used by Kamala Harris remaining on the ticket. She was not voted into this role. She is a de facto candidate by virtue of spending power. If it is not Kamala on the ticket, this fund goes to the party, for which only $32 million can be coordinated with the candidate's campaign. The Democratic Party has abandoned any semblance of being a legitimate party for the common man, all in the name of defeating one man, Donald Trump. And even there, they are not being sincere. They want a retail politician that they can control and also one that can beat Donald Trump. This is an impossible dual task. As a lifelong progressive Democrat, I am ashamed of the party leadership I once supported and deeply sorry to the millions of Americans who have placed their hope in a political machine that does not serve their best interest. I remember the frustration I had.
All right. And so here, let's go to another former Democrat, Tulsi Gabbard, before we go to break, saying similar things.
Hey, everybody. I just got here to Rome, where I'm going to be joining a dialogue and forum on peace, security, and prosperity for the Western Hemisphere in Europe. I just saw the news flash like everybody else. President Biden's no longer running for re-election, and he's endorsed Kamala Harris to be the Democratic nominee for president and commander-in-chief. I'm going to sound the same warning now that I have been for years, going all the way back to 2020 when both Kamala and I were running for president on the Democratic ticket. She is unfit and unqualified to be our president and commander-in-chief and would be incredibly dangerous in that position. The prospect of Kamala Harris making decisions about war and peace and where to send my brothers and sisters in uniform.
I'm out of time in this segment. I've gone long, but I think we get the point. These are former Democrats that no longer identify with the Democrat Party, warning about how corrupt it is, warning about what a disaster Kamala Harris will be. And so everybody sees this now. The problem is, politically, what are we running against? We're running against a corrupt establishment. Politically, we're running against corrupt institutions. But what are we running against on the ground? We're running against the scorekeepers that count the votes. And now there's new information every day, and this is why I continue with the interactive voting map. New information out of Pennsylvania. They're going to steal Pennsylvania, folks. They're going to steal Pennsylvania. And so it's probably going to come down to Arizona and Nevada is what it looks like. But they're going to steal Pennsylvania. They're going to steal Wisconsin, just like they did in 2020. We haven't done enough to fight the voter fraud. So we're running against a corrupt establishment, and we're running up against the people that count the votes. Doesn't matter if it's Kamala.
Explain how the central bank digital currency, ESG-controlled corporate governance, controlling what you can do and spend, corporations, governments, private individuals, how they use that as the next bubble with the unified ledger. This is key because their bridge to get out of this bubble is the next level of total control to take a giant slice of everybody's life, but not call it a bail-in, just call it a social credit score.
Yeah, so Let me, if I may, put this into the context of you and what you've gone through in this bankruptcy that you've had to go through and everything happening with InfoWars. You know, they didn't like what you had to say, so they froze you from your bank account. You couldn't access your money, right? So that took a legal process to get to that point. This is that exact same scenario, them separating you from your money, but without a legal process. They can just do it because they don't like you, because they don't like your ideology.
Now, slow down. That's his key, Dr. Elliott. This is a central bank ledger. Just sounds like a term people know. Everyone is in bankruptcy, private companies, corporations, the general public. That's why they say you'll owe nothing and like it. And then they unify it and take what they want. Your mortgage, everything is unified.
Everything. See, every asset that you have that's in this digital form, whether it's a bank account, checking account, savings account, money market, stock, bond, mutual fund, brokerage account, all of that stuff, and anything with a title like your house, right? You can be put into this unified ledger. Now, the World Economic Forum has explained this really well in the sense of this is digital money. It's programmable money, meaning they tokenize or they put all of your assets into a packet, and that packet is now can be sold, right? This is like a derivative. You can flip off the ownership with the flip of a button saying, okay, Alex, you no longer own all of this stuff that you thought you had. We're flipping the switch and we're going to give it to person B or person C or to the government, right? They can do whatever they want. This is what programmable money and a unified ledger is. And to make it really dangerous is that it's based on your digital social profile and your social credit score. Now, we're not talking about a dystopian future, right? We saw this happen with the truckers in Canada.
The British Prime Minister said, if you don't accept military service, we'll just turn your bank account off. 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, absolutely. So all of these things seem to be a stretch in people's minds, right? It's like, oh, this is the mark of the beast. This is way down the road. We've seen it, bank accounts.
Well, that's right. You're not covering things that are coming. This is all being rolled out now. They have gas station chains all over Europe, the U.S., including in Oklahoma and Texas, where you've got to swipe a card to get in the building. You got to swipe a card to buy gas just to prove you're even able to buy it. I mean, it's coming in.
We're not just talking about freedom here, right? Financial freedom, getting out of harm's way of these digital assets. We're also doing something that we get the best of both worlds, asset protection and growth. And that's what makes it such an amazing
Nothing's performed as good as silver. And I haven't had a silver or gold sponsor because so many of them sell numismatics, rip people off. You are the number one bullion dealer in America right now because you've got the best deals. Look at that 12-year graph, folks. This is a no-brainer to protect your assets and probably have growth. We can't guarantee anything, but my God, you're crazy if you don't call Dr. Kirk Elliott at 720-605-3900.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Warning. This broadcast is not for the weak-minded.
It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is insane. I don't want to jump the shark, but I got to give you an update. A no-fly zone has been issued over Delaware. Kamala Harris is en route to Delaware. Could they be signing over the presidency to Kamala Harris by the end of the week? Again, I'm not trying to get ahead of myself here. I'm just telling you this is what's going on. And Biden hasn't been seen in days. They forged his signature. They wrote a letter for him. It wasn't even on presidential letterhead. And based on the trajectory of this month of U.S. politics, well, why wouldn't they just give the presidency to Kamala at this point? I mean, what more insanity could happen? This is insane. Okay, joining me now, you may know her from her prior work of one of the greatest NFL sideline reporters of all time, and that is Michelle Tafoya. Now, before I bring her on, I just want to say this, and I'm sure Michelle doesn't remember. This was probably like 10, 15 years ago, and Michelle, I'm not trying to age us here, but my audience knows I used to work in sports media. I used to work NFL TV, sports TV. Michelle was truly one of the classiest, nicest sideline reporters that I ever met. I truly mean that. It's up. You and Tracy Wolfson were just the classiest, nicest. And some of these younger sideline reporters, I'm not going to name names. They don't really like to treat their help with respect and dignity. You always did. So I just want people to know what a class act you are. So it's an honor to have you on the show. All right. Well, I kind of wanted to get with conservatives and sports and Trumps.
Thank you. That's really nice of you. I always appreciate everyone on our crew. So And anyone else that I deal with. So thank you. That's really sweet of you. Go ahead.
Well, I could tell. Well, I wanted to get into, you know, conservatives and sports and Trump. You have these baseball players now doing a Trump celebration when they hit a home run. I mean, but first, let's get into this breaking news. I mean, they clearly forged Biden's signature. It's not on presidential letterhead. Do you think Biden even knows he's dropped out of the race at this point? I mean, what do you think is going on?
I really don't know what Biden knows. I don't know what he knows. I wish I did. I wish someone would tell us the truth. And that's what's so disturbing about this. They were supposedly the most transparent White House in history. No, this has been anything but transparent. And all we have to rely on these rumors about Nancy Pelosi saying, if you don't withdraw, then we're going to go with 25th Amendment, and that's going to be humiliating for you, et cetera, et cetera. Now, this news flash you're giving us about Delaware, this wouldn't surprise me in the least. We have not seen Joe Biden. Plenty of people are calling for him to, if you can't run, then you should probably resign. I just got through telling a friend of mine, it wouldn't surprise me at all if she were president before the end of the week. That would not surprise me in the least. So if she's on her way there, that could very well be what's going on, or they're going to make some sort of joint appearance. I don't know, but I wish someone would be honest with us for once.
Meanwhile, nobody is running the country. Now, I don't even think this is all said and done with Kamala. I think the Democrats are kind of testing the waters with Kamala right now, but they know she's not very likable. She doesn't poll well. She's dead last in the Democrat primaries in 2020. So, I mean, it's not like she's going to be the savior to this disastrous party that we have right now. Do you think Kamala Harris registers with women? Do you think women identify with Kamala? Does she get out the female vote?
It's funny that you asked that. I was just on Facebook a few minutes ago, and I was surprised to see someone posting a Rolling Stone magazine cover with Kamala on it and said, Kamala Harris, hashtag LFG. Everyone knows what that is. Refer to Tom Brady if you don't. I sent her a message because she's a friend and she's clearly very publicly supporting Kamala Harris. And I just said, what is it about her record or her qualifications that impress you? I think sadly, some women just want to see a woman president. I'm not that woman. I want to see a qualified, really good, strong woman as president if I'm going to see one. Like Condoleezza Rice comes to mind. I'm sad if women just want to see a woman president for the sake of seeing a woman president. I think there are a lot of qualified women out there who could be president. Don't get me wrong. And I think that the right one would certainly get my vote. Kamala, to me, is not the right one. She's done nothing in the White House. She was supposed to take care of the border issue and did zero to do that. I don't know what other qualifications she has. I don't know what other achievements she's had, except getting rid of or having most of her staff resign constantly, turnover day after day, month after month of her staff. So I don't get it.
Well, I don't mean to be discouraging here, but I do think she has a record for most knee pads ran through in the history of California politics. But that's just another story. Maybe that's a good segue into sports, actually, I think. So, you worked in the sports industry for a long time. I was in the sports industry before I switched to politics. And you're probably well aware. I would say in a lot of these leagues, there's a lot of people that vote Republican or have conservative political values, but they don't like to be outspoken. I can't tell you how many times I went into a radio booth or a TV booth and the play-by-play guy or the color guy or somebody on the crew would be listening to Alex Jones. But then you'd come in and they like turn it off. They're like, I don't know what this is. I'm like, hey, it's all right. It's okay. I'm right there with you. Do you see this culture changing? Now you got these baseball players that do the Trump celebration. You got NFL players coming out and endorsing Trump, talking about conservative values. Do you see this culture shift kind of happening now where finally people in the sports world aren't going to be afraid of their politics?
I think that's what you're seeing. I think, a lot of people who might have been ashamed or been shamed into keeping themselves quiet are done with that. And now it gets tricky, right? Because what have the Democrats done? They have taken an old white man off of their ticket and at least for the moment are replacing him with a young woman who is Jamaican and Indian, a woman who is not white, you know. And so they're going to make it very difficult because of this identity politics. I hate identity politics. I don't even know what to call it. It's not what we should be voting for. I see more people excited to vote for her because she's a woman or because she of her skin color than any other reason. That's not leadership. That's not leadership. So I want a leader in the White House. And my fear is if Kamala Harris is in the White House, people like Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin and others are really going to take advantage of the United States more than they already have in Joe Biden's first 4 years.
Well, you know, and it's just been such an expose of weakness, I think, under Biden. And I mean, definitely athletes want to see a sign of strength. You know,
maybe we all do.
Yeah,
I would think anyone does. I would think like so. I surprised Will Cain the other day. I was on his podcast and he's a former sports guy, too. And I told him I'm pro-choice with exceptions. You know, I'm not one of these late term abortion proponents. I am not. But I am pro-choice. And he said that's surprising to me because most pro-choice women, that's their top, their number one issue. And I said, not even close for me. It's not even in the top four, because quite frankly, women don't have the choice to even have a choice. If they don't have public safety, if we don't have national security, if you're in danger and, you know, you're murdered by an illegal immigrant, as we've seen some women recently have been, then your ability to choose to or not to choose to have an abortion goes out the window. So for me, public safety, domestic security, international relations, those things are far more important. Foreign policy, far more important to me.
Well, that's such a good point. And it shows how liberals have been tricked into prioritizing the wrong things. And I mention this all the time because I've been a big pro-life advocate for my career in politics. And I always notice this when you see all these women, because I go to these events, you see all these women out there, young women, and they're very pro-choice and abortion is their number one issue. And it hits me and I'm like, well, none of you have ever had an abortion, and well, not none of you. The vast majority of you have never had an abortion. The vast majority of you will never have an abortion. So why is this your biggest? Most of you hate men. You don't. It's like you're not even going to be with a man. But it hits me. It's like it's all propaganda. They make these women think it's their number one issue, even though, like you said, most of them aren't even going to be impacted by this, but they will be impacted by bad policy with police, bad policy with criminals, bad policy with taxes, open borders, and they get these liberals to prioritize the wrong issues.
Yeah, I think that it's an old playbook trick. They use fear. Oh my gosh, what if you did get pregnant? What if you did? Okay, what if you did? Then what? So yeah, there are other ways to avoid getting pregnant. First of all, we all know that. And second of all, this notion that the Supreme Court ended your right to choose, they just made a decision that legalized the morning after pill. So I don't know how these messages get so lost. I do know that you're right, that there is a media machine out there that is really, it seems to me, kind of a wing of the Democrat Party. And it parrots these fears out to people. They want to take away your right to choose, your right of your bodily autonomy, et cetera, et cetera. Now, there are some politicians who are staunchly pro-life. And, you know, I thought it was ridiculous when this idea of a national abortion ban. We had a guy running for governor here in Minnesota a few years back who said, we will ban abortion. That word ban is toxic. And when you put it next to abortion, it's even more toxic. So it's, you know, no matter whether or not you plan to have an abortion, have ever had an abortion or whatever, the fear that this instills in people that you would not have a choice to do so if you needed to is all that it takes. And they prey on that and they make it probably bigger issue than it needs to be. But still and yet, I will stand here and say I am pro-choice with exceptions. There are a lot of exceptions. I do not think second and third trimester abortions, unless a doctor says they're needed, are a good idea. It's not like when you're pro-choice, it doesn't necessarily make you like, yes, abortion. That's not what's happening here. You know, you're pro-choice. You're just wanting women to maintain the right to make the decision with their doctor.
Well, unfortunately, your pro-choice energy and attitude gets lost in the fanfare of some of these shows and some of these activists. And so it just makes it a horrible look. And I think that's why conservatives respond the way they do, no matter how strongly they feel about abortion. When we see people parading it around like a celebration, that makes the hardline conservative stance, I think, even harder. But, you know, you bring up the media propaganda. And, you know, this was kind of it was a big realization for me, because I wasn't political at all. And I was still working in the sports world. And then, you know, you start paying taxes and you start to get political. You can't help it. And it hit me one day. And I think I was at a football game and they started pushing vaccines. And then they did a gay pride thing. And then they did this other thing. I can't remember. And I was sitting there and it just hit me. I was like, wait a second. This is just all left wing propaganda. And the way they present it to these huge audiences is, oh, this is just pop culture, or oh, this is just common sense. And so the average audience member just thinks, oh, this is what's common. This is what's popular. Oh, I just want to be a part of this. They don't realize it's just outright Democrat Party propaganda. It's like they still do it in the NFL with all the anti-racism stuff. It's like, hey, clearly the NFL ain't racist. Like, what are we doing here? If anything, football proves that we're not racist. What are we doing here putting all this anti-racist stuff everywhere? It's all Democrat Party propaganda.
It's a lot of virtue signaling as well. And, you know, when you talk about the people who are coming up through the ranks in some of these franchises and organizations, let's say they're the social media managers or the in-game promotions. I mean, these are not the owners. Now, the owners ultimately sign off, but these are the young people that are coming up through the ranks and saying we should have all these different celebrations, different nights at the ballpark. You know, here in Minnesota, I think the Minnesota Twins, our baseball franchise, they had a big memorial out in left field about the whole the Black Lives Matter thing that happened here in Minnesota. And it didn't go over well with a lot of people. A lot of people think, this is where I go to get away from it. This is where I go to be friends with everybody, you know, whether they're a fan of the Twins or not. This is where I go to just cheer and enjoy my day. And I don't want to be preached to or lectured to about, you know, the anthem or anything else. And so I think it's too bad, but it's permeated everything.
I don't know if you saw this. There were two instances. The Tampa Bay Devil Rays, a guy hits, I think it was a RBI double. He does the Trump celebration. There was a member of the St. Louis Cardinals. He hits a home run. He does the Trump celebration. The bench does the Trump celebration. They put their hand over their right ear, and then they put their fist up saying, fight, fight, fight. Do you think that this has really changed? I mean, is this momentum going in the opposite direction, where it's not just players feeling like, oh, maybe I'm comfortable showing my politics, whereas it's like, now it's kind of like it is pop culture and you're kind of viewed as the rebel now?
You know, as we sit here on July 22nd, I really felt that way, that the momentum was just had changed big time. And so what the Democrats have smartly done is tried to stop it by changing the news cycle. And by, you know, yesterday after the British Open, the Open Championship was done, that's when the Biden letter was released on X. And that's when the news dropped that Joe Biden was no longer running for president. Completely changed the news cycle. Completely. And so today, while hearings were held on Capitol Hill that were supposed to really question the head of the Secret Service and whether or not she was appropriate for the job and had done the job well, people were still talking about the fact, where's Joe Biden? What's Kamala Harris doing? She's the presumptive nominee now, which, by the way, hasn't happened in a really Democratic way, has it?
Oh.
We still need to see their convention. This is
You mean the party protecting democracy?
Yes. Yes. They're very afraid of losing democracy. And so they undemocratically have assigned Kamala Harris as their nominee for president, in spite of what the delegates have said. And, you know, they're going to find a way to get that done. So they have changed that momentum. And now we have to see whether it turns back and when and how. But yes, I did feel that momentum was changing.
Well, Kim Cheadle today during the hearing insinuated that anybody questioning the Secret Service agents there on the ground, specifically the women we saw fumbling around, looking around confused, By the way, the woman that's standing in front of Trump that's like 5 foot nothing, Trump's over 6 feet tall. There was a wide open shot at him. And God forbid if there was somebody else trying to hit him. I mean, that's not even a, that's not even saying she can't do the job. She just physically cannot block a bullet from hitting Trump. And so the Secret Service is all up in arms. Again, you had Cheadle saying, oh, it's misogynistic. Secret Service says it's appalled by DEI rhetoric against female agents after Trump rally shooting. Well, I'm glad that's what they're focusing on. Do you find it misogynistic? Are you insulted as a woman that maybe I would prefer a man to be on my security detail?
Well, let's just give you an example and you can decide. When I was on the sidelines of Monday night and Sunday night football, I was always assigned security detail, one security guard just to stick with me, to make sure no one harassed me, to make sure that if anything came up, I was protected. And I would always meet this security person about an hour, 90 minutes before the game when I started going out on the field, talking to players and that kind of thing. So often I went out there and I was introduced to my security detail. And if it was like a 5 foot seven guy who was weighed maybe 120 pounds, I didn't feel good. If it was a 5 foot eight woman who didn't look like she could keep up with me, I didn't feel good. You're either qualified or you're not. And to suggest that we have to make the force 30% female, the Secret Service, or any force for that matter, no, you got to make sure they're qualified. And I want someone bigger and stronger than me standing between me and whatever threat was going to come my way. And there were times I walked out on that field and I met my security detail and I was like, really? I don't even know if this person's going to be able to keep up with me and my movements around the field because I move a lot. So that's not misogynistic. That's not anti-feminine, whatever. It's not anti-woman. What that is I wanted to feel safe, and I felt a whole hell of a lot safer when my security guard was bigger and taller than I was and preferably armed. So the fact that these women were so much shorter than the president and could not really guard him, you're right, they weren't as tall. And boy, did you see that change at the RNC. Did you see whenever he walked in, surrounded by Secret Service, they were all tall, big dudes. And that's what would make me feel safe.
Well, I also noticed that Kim Cheadle's security, when she went to the hearing today, was all men, big men, tall men, all over 6 foot tall. I think there was one woman that accompanied her. I couldn't tell if it was an assistant or security. But other than that, it was all tall men that she was guarded by. And I wonder, too, Cheadle didn't answer any questions today, to no one's surprise. She let a couple slip out. But I wonder, too, were any of these women ever assigned to Joe Biden's detail, Barack Obama's detail, Jill Biden's detail? I wonder if there was only Donald Trump that was assigned these women. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I'd love to see the data. She didn't bring much data with her to the hearing. It was amazing. You know you're going in for a hearing. You know the hearing's going to be televised. You know they're going to be asking you tough questions. But how many times did Kim Cheadle say, I don't have that information at my fingertips, or I don't know that at this time? Or she would just say, the FBI is investigating, so I can't answer. That was very convenient. But I thought this was one of the most non-partisan or maybe bipartisan efforts I've ever seen out of a hearing, where both sides were coming after her with equal aggression. And, you know, Ro Khanna of California, a Democrat, was saying, you need to resign. You need to resign, just like the head of the Secret Service when Ronald Reagan got shot resigned. You need to resign. So I thought it was really amazingly bipartisan, which you don't see very often. But I think they all should be concerned about who is securing things. And if it's someone who is underqualified, they should not be there.
Yeah, both the chair and the ranking member, Comer and Raskin, concluded by saying that she needs to resign. And why she hasn't yet, I'm curious. I'll be curious.
When does anyone get held accountable? It seems like the only thing that you get held accountable for is if you steal some other woman's suitcase at the airport, then you get fired. You know,
yeah, you can leave cocaine in the White House and it's perfectly fine. Go party in the White House and nobody seems to mind. I will say if she does resign, I think that this whole thing was planned in that I think she was meant to go in front of the committee for that hearing and be the fall gal to cover it all up and then resign afterwards. So if she does resign afterwards, I think that that was probably the strategy.
You know what? Nothing surprises me anymore. It's all strategic. It's all, how do we make the most of this crisis? You know, never let a good crisis go to waste. How do we manipulate, obfuscate? How do we make things come out our way? And how do we avoid accountability? I've seen so little accountability out of this White House. It's astonishing to me. And you've had probably more people quit than have been fired. And that ought to tell you something.
Oh, yes. It's had one of the most individuals quitting of any administration. Harris's team, Biden's team, the Secret Service as well. All right. Final statements from you here before we let you go. Michelle Tafoya with us. Someday, I don't know, they'll probably put you in the Hall of Fame of broadcasters. I would hope so. One of the great original sideline reporters. I know you're doing a lot of work for females in sports, specifically young girls that have to go against men. But what is the messaging? What is the effectiveness of the messaging there when it comes to people understanding this is all coming from the American left?
You know, look, I don't know. And I'm appalled at some people that say, so you lost to a male. What do you care? Well, there's a reason we divvied up sports into men's and women's categories. And having covered not only the NFL, but I covered the Olympic Games. I covered swimming at the Olympic Games. And let me tell you, there is a vast difference between world-class swimmers that are female and world-class swimmers that are male. And so, you know, I've heard women say, well, a mediocre guy can't beat Katie Ledecky. Well, a mediocre guy isn't the one in the pool. You know, it is so astonishing to me that we're even having this conversation, that biological males should be allowed anywhere near women's sports or their locker rooms or their places where that are supposed to be, you know, theirs and theirs alone. This has gone way too far. It's like we're living in this new normal, but I'm not going to talk about it like it's normal. I'm going to continue to try to embolden young women to, hey, if there's a biological male competing in your heat, in track, in swimming, whatever it is, get out. Don't agree to do it. You've got to take a stand so that others in the future will be protected.
That's Michelle Tafoya from the sports sidelines to the political front lines at Michelle_Tafoya on X or her website, MichelleTafoya.com. Michelle, it was very cool catching up with you. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we got a lot of news, breaking news, coming up in the next hour. Don't go anywhere.
Survival Shield X3 is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, there are several reasons why you should be considering this product. Frankly, not even considering it, just getting it at InfoWarsStore.com. First of all, we know that nascent iodine supports thyroid health. Now, our thyroid is responsible for several things associated with our health, namely detoxifying, purifying the body, and eliminating the chemicals that we're exposed to, whether they're chemicals in our air, or chemicals in our water, or chemicals in our food. Nascent iodine is key in giving our body and our thyroid the strength and power that it needs to detoxify these terrible chemicals from the way that we are exposed to them in the environment. Now, not only is this nascent iodine incredible for our thyroids, but X3 is specifically designed to be as effective as possible because Survival Shield X3 includes three different types of iodine for one specific reason, to ensure bioavailability. We know that different people have different genes. Some genes are more prone to being able to absorb nascent iodine than others. So we've included three different types of nascent iodine in Survival Shield X3 to ensure that your body is able to absorb and integrate at least one of them into your functioning so that you can be as efficient and healthy as possible. Now, it's not only important to buy Survival Shield X3 because it does things like support thyroid health or because it does things like support detoxification or the enhanced bioavailability, but also because by getting this product, Survival Shield X3 from InfoWarsStore.com, you are supporting InfoWars itself. We know that this is a critical time for our country. We know that we have one of the most important elections, if not the most important election of all time, coming up this November. And so by getting Survival Shield X3 from InfoWarsStore.com, not only are you supporting your health and your body's ability to detoxify itself and power its thyroid system, but you are supporting InfoWars and keeping InfoWars on the air. So go to InfoWarsStore.com right now, get Survival Shield X3, support your thyroid health, detoxify your body, keep InfoWars on the air, and frankly, save humanity.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.